My name is Grayson Blyberg. I am 13 years old. Today is April 21st, Easter, and I'm speaking with Manfred Blyberg, who is my grandfather. We are recording this interview in Delray Beach, Florida. So, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Doing all right, how about you?
Great.
So I have a few questions. So, what was your childhood like?
Very rough during the war because we didn't have food or whatever it was. It was very bad. We were put into trains called the cattle car, 500-600 people in one car. They didn't, no toilets, nothing. They just gave you cans. And they used to stop every certain amount of miles. And they let the people off to go relieve themselves. And I remember, even though I was only a year old, I remember going underneath the train to relieve myself. And it was nighttime, and there was a big spike sticking out of the train, and I was sitting down, and I got up, and the spike hit me in my head, and I was bleeding.
That's terrible. That must have been horrible. So, do you remember any of your friends growing up? Maybe did you make any friends on the cattle car, or maybe, you know, in your experience?
No, the only friends I might have had is maybe in Russia I had when we were sent to Siberia because the Germans needed free labor there, and we were sent to Russia, Siberia. I probably had some friends there, but I don't remember, I was too young.
Well, what would you do with your friends? Do you have any memories of things you would do with your friends?
Where, in Russia you're speaking of?
Anywhere, just anytime.
Well, my friends I had when we stayed in the camps after the Americans took over in Germany, we stayed in the American camps, and I had one very close friend that I remember, his name was Schmulke. And he, after the war, I think his parents went to Israel.
Oh.
And with him, of course.
So, now that you've spoke about your friends, what is your earliest memory of the war?
The earliest memory of the war was a little bit in Russia, very little. I don't know how many years we stayed there, whether it was a year or two or three, I really don't remember. A little bit of it, and then the rest was when we came back. When we went from Russia, after the war, the Russians took over, and we stayed in Russia for a few years, and we didn't have what to eat, but my father, my brother, was 12 years old at the time. Was he 12? And they learned how to be shoemakers, to fix shoes, so we got by. And then as soon as, I guess, my father had a chance, because my mother died in Siberia, I was 3 years old, because they didn't give her any medicine, she had typhus. And the Russians really didn't care about the Jews either. And then after a while, my father, I guess, took us and we ran away to Poland. And after the war, the Americans took over, and from Poland we ran away back to Germany, where we stayed in the American camps.
So could you tell me a bit about your arrival to the Russian camps? Like, let's go to the beginning. Like, do you remember anything about arriving there, getting off the cattle car?
No, not at all. I was, like I said, I was a year old, maybe a year and a half, maybe I was two, it's possible.
Do you remember anything maybe your parents told you about arrival?
No, I just remember a little bit that my father used to work in the wilderness, chopping down trees. It was 50 below zero, and he had rags on and so forth. People got blind, they lost their arms, their legs from frostbites.
It was that cold?
Very cold, 50 below zero, sometimes even colder than that.
What was your experience like in this harsh cold?
Well, I was a kid, so when a kid, they don't think about these things. They want the mommy and the daddy to provide the food, and they, you know, because they're not going to get it themselves. And in Russia, I had an uncle. He had a couple of horses with a wagon. I think he was selling some stuff, and I used to go on the horse. I'm one of the black, he had two black horses. I used to go into the ocean a little bit out, not go in really. The horse just went in a little bit, and I was on the horse bareback, holding on to the hair of the horse.
Mm-hmm. So was that the only labor your father was forced to do with the axe and chopping down the trees?
I don't remember what everything what, but probably could have been different things as well.
Mm. So at the end of each day, when your parents were done working and your brothers were all ready for bed, where would you go to sleep and what was it like there?
Sleep? I don't remember. We could have been sleeping outside, or we could have been sleeping in something that had a cover over it, or whatever.
Well, what did your parents say about, where you would sleep?
I didn't ask them. I didn't remember this at all.
Maybe do you have any like brief memories of like wood or maybe like sleeping in the cold or something?
No, probably sleeping in the cold and not having enough to cover yourself or keep warm.
Hmm.
Not that I have enough food either.
So wherever you slept or wherever you stayed, do you remember it being very crowded or were there not a lot of people or?
Well, there's always a lot of people because these were all people that they pulled into Russia, the Germans, to labor for them because they were fighting the Russians.
Mm. So how many people would you say were you around when you were in these camps?
Many, hundreds, maybe thousands.
Mm. So were there any diseases, like, I know you mentioned typhus, but were there any other diseases spreading around the camps that affected you?
I have no idea. I just know my mom died when I was 3 years old on typhus, and the Russians didn't want to give her any medicine because they really didn't care about the Jewish people.
That's
after the Germans left.
So since you weren't able to get your hands on any medicine, what would you provide for your mom, if you even could?
Me, I couldn't provide anything as well as it goes.
I know, not you, but like maybe like your family or your dad.
Well, if they could get the medicine, they would provide for her, but they couldn't get it, and we were not wealthy as far as being there. We had my brother and my father learned how to fix shoes, become shoemakers or shoe repair person, and they just made a few rubles, as you say in Russian, it's Russian money, just to get by. They used to buy things on the black market, whatever we needed.
Oh, so what sorts of things would you buy on this said black market if you could even get your hands on it?
Food, clothing.
What sort of food and clothing were you able to buy on this?
Whatever you could afford and whatever they had. We used to eat originally before that, we used to eat peels from the people throughout, you know, the Russians, I guess, and we used to cook with that. Anything you could find, it wouldn't matter as long as it was food.
So how would this black market work?
I think they opened up the market and you had people, some people were selling all kinds of stuff that a lot of the stuff that wasn't even legal, but they were still selling it, and the people that had the money that wanted it, they bought it.
Mm.
Because the Russians didn't feed the people as well. They didn't care, really.
That's really awful. I'm so sorry. So you really would only just eat potato peels, nothing else?
Well, potato peels and whatever other stuff that people threw away that we could find.
Well, clearly you were with us today, so how were you able to escape the labor camps? What happened that caused you?
Well, the labor camps is when the Germans had to evacuate Russia because they couldn't win by the Russians, so they either killed a lot of these prisoners, as we were, or they just let them go because the Russians came in and they took over. And you lived a little more freedom than the Germans did, but it was still, they didn't feed the people the proper way either.
So what did you do once you left the labor camp? What did you do to make your way to America?
Well, first of all, my father and my brother and my two sisters and myself, my father took us somehow, he got out of Russia and it was very difficult and we went into Poland. Okay, And when we were in Poland, I don't know how many years, we stood there, probably a couple of years also. And then the Americans, then when we won the war from the Germans, the Americans took over and they had camps in Germany and one more place that I don't remember. We wound up, my father and I, and took us and we ran away to Germany and we wound up in the American camps. And that was a lot better than my brother. He was very educated, sort of, even though he was 9 years older than myself. But in Germany, when you used to go to junior high school, it was almost like going to high school or college, because they really were. So he got somehow a position, and the Americans gave him in the warehouse to take care of the products that used to go in and out. So we got by there. And then I had one friend I had that I was very close to. And then the Jewish people had a little more freedom when we were in American camps, and we started learning, Hebrew. We went to rabbi, and I had one friend, and his name was Shmulki. We were very close. I still have a picture from him even. And they wound up going, we had two choices. Either we go to Israel, or we go to the U.S., or stay in Germany, because I was really a German citizen. I was born in Germany. But so my father decided we were going to go to the United States, but the Americans wanted that you had to have somebody there that gave you a job in order for you to come to the U.S. And then you had to be healthy, 100%. You couldn't have anything wrong with you. So they checked us all out, and they found out that my older sister, as far as older than I, she had some kind of a spot on the lungs, and they stopped us from going for a while. Then we redid it again, the spot somehow disappeared or whatever it was, and they let us come to the U.S. But of course, somebody had to sign that they're giving my father a job here, otherwise they couldn't. So I had my uncle, my mother's brother, had a cleaning store on Columbus Avenue in New York, and he filled out a paper that he's going to give him a job. But of course he didn't have, because he was just hardly making a living in 1949. But anyways, we came out here and we came to the U.S. and we stayed in another building that was an association that took all the refugees that came from different countries from the war, and they let them stay there. It's like it was one room, we were four people, but at least they gave you food and everything. And then people came around, professional people that had businesses looking for professionals that knew a painter or baker or whatever. So my brother, he got a job as, they said they're looking for painters. He said, I'm not a painter, but I could learn. So they took him and he became like a painter, painting buildings and not houses. And my father was a baker, so they came, bakers that had bakeries, they came and he got a job as far as a bakery goes. And my father was, never learned how to read or write, but he was very good in numbers. He was in business in Germany and everything else. He knew how to drive a car, he knew all the signs. And this man used to come out and pick these people out to go to work. I think it was in Jersey. He used to pick them up and drive them out, and he used to bring them back and so forth. And he worked there like a week, and he was supposed to pay him. The guy never showed up. So my father didn't know where he was even, and so he didn't get paid. So then it took a while, we stayed there a while, then finally we moved out and we got our own apartment on the Lower East Side. It was a four-flight walk-up, and there was no heat. All they had was a gas oven and an oil oven that you got some heat. So we stayed on the fourth floor. And then as it got a little better, my brother was working, my father was working a little bit. We moved down to the first floor.
That's nice. So you mentioned what your other family members were doing once you came to America. What was it like for you when you came to America? Like, what languages did you speak? Were there any communication barriers?
Well, there were barriers with the young kids. It wasn't so much barriers with the older people, was not, because they spoke languages as well. This was all people from Europe, and after the war, you know, they spoke Polish, Russian, Jewish, and many other languages.
Okay. Did you ever meet anyone when you came to America that spoke the same languages as you? Maybe any other kids that immigrated from the same situations?
Not that I remember. Most of my friends were Americans.
Okay. What was learning English like for you? How did you pick it up?
Well, a little kid always picks up a language very quickly, just like I picked up Russian and Polish because I lived there. You pick it up after a while. You go to school, of course, also. So it wasn't easy in the beginning, of course, but then, and I always wanted to work and make some money. There was no big money to be made. So my friends and I, we used to make our own shoe boxes to shine shoes.
Oh.
And we used to go out and shine shoes. I think a shoe shine was 5 cents or 10 cents a shine. We used to go out like on the weekends usually because we couldn't go out in the middle of the week, we went to school.
So how much would that be today?
In the shine, you mean?
Like you mentioned, it's like 5 cents. What would that be like today?
It's $5, $6, $7 a shoe shine.
Okay, so you made a fair amount of money.
I just made some spending money, $2 or $3, whatever it was. I went out on the weekend for 3-4 hours or whatever I needed, and that was it. That was mine, because my father couldn't give me much. I mean, he gave me what he could. He was only making a certain amount, because later on my father opened a fruit store in Manhattan. And he stayed in the fruit store, and then the city or the state, the government, they wanted to widen the street, so they had to take that building where my father was, and he had to give up the fruit store. So you had to get another fruit store on the same street, but on the other side. But of course, it was already time consuming in between. But it still made out. Yeah, just hardly made a living, let's put it this way.
Oh. So since your father was making a living and you were making a living off of shining shoes with your friends.
No, I wasn't making a living. I was just making a few
cents
for myself. I was a kid only, don't forget.
Yeah.
I was only 10, 12 years old, 11 years old, but I was doing that.
So what would you do with that money
when I needed it? I used to go to a movie. We used to go to Horn and Hardart. There was a machine. You put in a quarter or 5 cents if you wanted a sandwich or a coffee. Or they had in the back, they had a open sort of restaurant where you could get a hamburger and then I used to go to movies. It was like 35 cents a movie, and that's what I used the money really for, and buying candy or ice cream, when ice cream was 5 cents or 10 cents, I'm a good humor man. And I used to go to the candy store, like penny candies and all this that we don't have anymore now.
So I'm assuming different from your life in Siberia, America was like
I didn't grow. I was, if originally if Hitler didn't come along, I probably would have had very well in Germany, because we weren't well off, and my father had business, and we had a woman taking care of the kids, myself that is, and that we didn't have later on.
Mm-hmm.
Because we lost everything. When we came to this country, we had nothing.
Yeah. That sounds like a very, very, very hard situation to be in. Well, thank you for coming to do this interview. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. If I can help you in anything else, you let me know.
Okay, thank you.
No, I didn't.